Once more, Happy New Year. If you would, please open with me to Philippians chapter 2. And here Paul begins in chapter 2, verse 1. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, and do we, church, have encouragement from being united with Christ? If any comfort from his love, do you feel comforted because Jesus loves you? If any fellowship with the Spirit, have you felt the fellowship of the Holy Spirit? Have you enjoyed his presence, especially in the presence of other Christians? If any tenderness and compassion, have you felt that from God's very throne? Paul says then, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. In essence, Paul is saying, be like God in nature with one another. Verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition. And we have all probably been in the church long enough that we have seen some selfish ambition. Amen. Or vain conceit. Hey, look at me. Or it's all about me. But in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And that's how the world is supposed to recognize the church. Fellowship that is like-minded makes the church different. Fellowship is contingent, though, on holiness, and that's something that isn't preached very much these days. Holiness. What does the word holy mean? It means to be separated apart from the world and to God, to belong to God. He makes us holy, and that's a supernatural act that can only happen through the blood of Jesus. But it's also our walk with him that ensures that we stay holy. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, John says, we have fellowship with him and with each other. In 2 Corinthians, now chapter 6, verse 14, Paul gives this charge, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. There's a proverb that says that bad company corrupts good character. Now that doesn't mean do not ever associate with someone who is not a Christian. That is not what that means. But beware what you give your allegiance to, what you give your heart to. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? And all too often, a lot of us try to hide darkness in our hearts. What harmony is there between Christ and Belial, in other words, Satan? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? We are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, be holy, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Satan knows that the easiest way to destroy good fellowship, to destroy a church, is with bad fellowship. Things don't work for a reason. I mean, there's a reason why things fall apart in the church. There's a story about two hunters that flew north up to Canada. They were elk hunting, and just as they did the year before, but during their hunt, okay, they're successful. They killed six large elk. They came back to the pilot that flew them out there, and he told them, I can only take four. That's too much weight for the plane. We cannot do that. And then they insisted, well, last year the pilot took six and it was not a problem. So he finally agreed and the plane crashed. As they were climbing out of the plane, he said, you know what? Looks about the same place where we crashed last year. Things don't work and continue to not work for a reason. The second most effective way to destroy fellowship is to polarize Christians against each other. We must be like-minded, Paul said. Fellowship in the church happens when we walk in the light. In other words, like Jerry was saying, the focus is not on us, it's on Jesus. Whenever we put it on us, we're miserable. We put it on Jesus, amazing things happen. When we have true fellowship, that is when we feel the best about ourselves, individually and as a group. The blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, John says, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin." Now, sometimes when I read 1 John, I tend to think, boy, I am in trouble. Don't you? Because you read through it and you think, oh dear, I am not sinless. And it seems like John is trying to say, be sinless all the time. But that's not what John is saying. He's saying, stay in the light. Jesus knows we're sinners. Jesus knows we've got issues and problems. He's just saying, stay in the light. Don't move away from it. And the blood of Jesus will purify you of all sin. So we have to have that kind of love that God has for us to maintain the fellowship that we want. Fellowship must have God's love, the only love that is suitable for fellowship. It's the only pure love that exists because there's no darkness in it at all. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being." That's where our strength and our ability to walk in the light comes from, the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we think as Christians we have to do this all on our own, and we think it's exhausting. It's because we're not keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." How many of you like to be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God? Doesn't that sound awesome? To be filled with God that much, he's just oozing out of you. You know, the huge redwood trees, the sequoias of California, they're amazing. They're the largest living things on earth, the tallest trees in the world. Some of them are 300 feet high and over 2,500 years old. That's pretty amazing. And one would think, I mean, have you ever gone to the Sears Tower and seen their documentary of how that thing was built? I mean, basically, you have this huge concrete anchor that goes into the earth that's almost as high as the building itself. Now, you would think that a redwood would have something simpler or similar. It doesn't. It has a network of roots that interlocks with other redwoods. It doesn't go very deep at all. That's the only way it can stand, is by interlocking with other trees. So something so massive, it's deceiving. It's deceiving, but the fact is, it has other trees to hold it. And there must be a higher standard within the church that we interlock in such a way. Because the world's perception is that there is no God, and if there's no God, there's no need to be moral. I don't like that, so it can't be true. That's the way they perceive things. But you know, when our fellowship is true and our fellowship is sweet, they question that. They see something different. I saw it happen with Ira's mother. I saw her go from saying, there is no God. I remember we were watching a video of the Grand Canyon, and Ira said to her mother, "Who do you think made all of that?" And her very casual response was, "Nature." But then one day, and I was there, it was after church, Ira had gotten her mother to go to church many, many, many times. And one Sunday afternoon, she was quoting things from the sermon. And she said, "And what do you think about that, Mom?" And she said, "You know, I'm beginning to believe that's true." And Ira's jaw went through the floor. because Ira loved to spar with her mother. But she said later, the reason I started to believe it was true was because I started to see the change in Ira. There's truth. There's truth there. There is light and there is dark. You know, a Bedouin was in his tent. He was eating dates. And then he started to notice that there were worms in the dates. So he just blew the candle out so he wouldn't see the worms when he ate the dates. We can't ignore dark. Can't ignore darkness. Can't ignore Satan and the things that are evil and pretend like they're not there. They are. And God actually calls us to call those things out, to not make them casual, not to make them unimportant, but to understand that evil is evil and good is good. In Ephesians 3:20, it says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us." So God is still working in us. "To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus," in the church and in Christ Jesus, "throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." His power is at work within us, and that's what makes fellowship possible. We should never forget that. It's not, you know, the best coffee shop. It's not the gimmicks or the methods that makes fellowship sweet. It's his power at work in us that makes fellowship sweet. Those other things, they're fine. But the truth is, we will never have fellowship the way God intended unless his power is at work within us. We can never discredit God. In Ephesians 5:1, it says, "Be imitators of God." There it is. Be imitators of God. Act like him. "Therefore, as dearly loved children," remember, he is our father, and children are a reflection of their parents, "live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." That's the ultimate expression of love, what Jesus did. "But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place. But in place of all these things," Paul says, "thanksgiving." That's kind of like what Jerry was saying. Praise refocuses your heart. So does thanksgiving. In order to be thankful, you have to be humble. You have to acknowledge God and all the things that he does. And we have fellowship that is one in spirit and purpose when God is in the center, when Jesus is leading us. In 2 Corinthians 13:14, there are three things that Paul mentions that we desperately need for fellowship to be sweet. It says, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you." We need grace. We need grace, not judgment. We don't need to rip each other apart. We don't need to say, "Oh, look at so-and-so, and boy, that's hard in this town, isn't it?" But it's true. We need grace, not law. And all of us have been saved by grace, not law. Amen? All right. And we also need the love of God. The love of God. I mean, that love is a gift to us. It's a supernatural love. It comes from the very character of God. And we need to share his love. In the same way Christ shared God's love with us, we must share God's love with others and with each other. And finally, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We need that. We need the Holy Spirit among us and in us. And we need to encourage godly things with each other. But we must avoid false assumptions of each other. It's easy to speculate, to be suspicious, to look at each other and start being judgmental. But I want to share a story with you. Two men who worked in the audit department of a large bank went out to lunch after an overnight trip. They were dining in a local restaurant, and the chief auditor told the other man, "First, we'll hit the tellers, and then get the vault. They arrived at the bank the next morning, only to be promptly arrested by the state police. Upon inquiry, they discovered that the police captain had eaten at the same restaurant and overheard their conversation, misunderstood what they meant. It's very easy to make false assumptions. Was it a good assessment? Yes, based on the knowledge he had, but sometimes we don't have all the knowledge, and sometimes we can be very wrong. We have to let God be God when it comes to judging people. Amen? We have to let God be God. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, Paul again says to Timothy, "You know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's house, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth." Truth is important, isn't it? I've talked with people in recent weeks and just talking about history, things that actually happened in history, and I was abruptly stopped and said, "Well, I don't want to be judgmental." I said, "Judgmental? It's history. It actually happened." Well, I don't want to talk about other people like they're bad. The fact is, sometimes people have been very bad. It's history. Sometimes people don't like to look at the truth. But Jesus makes this very, very true statement. The truth sets you free. And that's true, isn't it? When you shed light on things, Jesus says, you're free. When you hide them, you're a captive. When the church conducts itself correctly, the world clearly sees God's truth. This is why it is so important to keep the right focus of fellowship, because without the right focus of fellowship, people won't see the truth. They go hand in hand. People, remember what Jesus said? They will know you are my disciples by your love for each other. And then they'll see the truth. But if we don't have both of those things together, the sweet fellowship and the truth, we're way off. They have to be kept in balance. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 8, it says, "The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good." Amen, church? Let's not grow weary in doing good. "For at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people," notice this, "especially to those who belong to the family of believers." So be good to everybody, but especially to your brothers and sisters. Don't grow weary, but strive by the Spirit. Why do so many Christians get burned out? Because they're not striving by the Spirit. When we follow Jesus, it's refreshing. We're following ourselves, it's exhausting. You can't get offended at everything, by the way. And we have to be truthful with ourselves. Maybe that's the hardest part for everybody, to be truthful with ourselves. Love says, "I care enough about you to tell you when I see you doing something wrong." Not in a judgmental way, because I'm a sinner too. I'm a sinner too. But to say, "Hey, I'm afraid for you. I'm worried." You're not supposed to worry, I know that. But I'm worried. It seems like you're on the wrong path, and I don't want to see you get hurt. Love says, "I care enough about you to tell you." It doesn't turn a blind eye. I've seen that so many times, where Christians just want to say, "I don't see it. I don't see it. It's not happening. I don't see it." Or if someone brings it up, "Well, you're a sinner too. Why are you bringing that up? You're a sinner too." I know I'm a sinner. We cannot gauge love based on lack of information, how little we tell people. Or we can't lie to ourselves. We have to own the fact that we are sinners and that we need God's grace. Give it over to God. Give situations over to God before you ever address anything, whether it's with yourself or within another Christian. Give it over to God first. Lord, you handle this. Take care of this. But don't get upset when people try to help you. When people tell you, hey, George, I saw you do this. I'm concerned. Your response should be, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for caring about me. Thank you for noticing that. Whether it's true or not, thank you because you took the time to tell me that you were concerned as a brother or sister. Not, how dare you think that about me? That doesn't come from God. That comes from the evil one. In Gospel of John, verse 34, Jesus says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. You remember how Jesus used to talk to Peter? He called him out, didn't he? It wasn't because he didn't love him. He loved him very deeply. But he loved him so much, he told him the truth. It says in verse 35, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Now in Romans 12, verse 9, it says, love must be sincere. It has to be real. It can't be just words. It has to be words and deeds. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. When somebody else gets recognition, praise the Lord. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Finally, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. What did Peter say we are? A chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We belong to God. Claim that. That's you. Those who are in Christ, that's you. You've received that calling. You belong to God. Therefore, be completely humble and gentle. You're good. God has got you. Don't worry. But be humble and gentle. Remember, God will take care of everything. He's got everything. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. I like that word, bearing. Because there are times we do get on each other's nerves. Amen? But Paul says, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Hang in there. It will get better if you hang in there. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body. There aren't many churches. There is one church. And one Spirit. There are not many gods. There is one God. Just as you are called to one hope, there is only one resurrection of the church. When you were called, we have great hope. And this can be a year of joy, a year of rejoicing. Because God is good. And it doesn't matter what happens in the world, God has got it. Amen? So let's look forward and not back. Let's look to God and follow Him. And let's not worry about what's going on in the world, because we are the redeemed, the chosen people of God, and Jesus is coming back for us. What do we have to worry about? God is good. God is faithful. God is coming for us. Please stand. Father in heaven, search our hearts and help us. Lord, we struggle at times with staying in the light. But Lord, we do want our fellowship to be sweet. We do want this church to follow you with all of our hearts. Lord God, please help us. because we need that power from on high. We need to be empowered by your Spirit. We need the love of God among us, and we need to understand grace better. Lord, fill us with all of these gifts. We implore you, we beg you, Lord, please do this. Lord, if any have not accepted you as their Savior, we pray that they would come to your throne of grace and find healing for their souls. Lord God, we pray any who have testimony, any who just need someone to pray with, that they would come. Come to you, Lord, to you alone. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.